Good morning. It's Monday morning, a little bit of snow flying, and it's time for Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with co-host Doug Wells. We've been at this for how long? 4 or 5 years now.
I think it's 5 years on April 1st.
Well, we should have a celebration.
We should talk about some rum.
Well, we're celebrating this morning because we're talking about food and drink and sports, three of the favorite things for Park City. So it should be a fun show.
Although you'll have to catch me up on the sport connection. The Thin Air thing's a business conference, right?
It's a business conference, and we'll get to that in the second half of the show. But our guests this morning are from Skullcandy, and they're talking about the business of sport and sound and how music can enhance athletic performance. They have a laboratory that studies that, and we'll talk about that. But first, we're going to talk with Hossein Dodka, and he is the owner of Dinner at Yours, which is a private chef company, and he has honed the system for bringing in Persian cuisine to your home and finishing the preparation of it in your home, serving it, and he will be our first guest. And then we're going to follow that up with, well, maybe it should have been in the other way around, because maybe before drink you'd have a cocktail, before dinner you'd have a cocktail. And our second guest is Mark Christensen, who is one of the operators of a new craft distillery company. They're doing Antelope Island Rum in South Salt Lake. And so now we have whiskey in Park City. We've got gin and vodka in Ogden, and few others.
And it sounds like business and sports for our last guest. Larry, how'd you like to work in a place that's known as the Human Potential Lab? It turns out Skullcandy has a Human Potential Lab. Skullcandy, of course, is the earbuds manufactured based right here in Park City. We're going to have Emily Cook, who's the director of Skullcandy's Human Potential Lab. We're also going to have Sam Nordker, who's a manager of the advanced engineering at Skullcandy, probably talking about some of their latest products. And then we're also going to have Linda Jager, who is on air here at KPCW occasionally. You may have heard her with the movie reviews. She's with the Park City Chamber Bureau, and she's going to be talking about the Thin Air Conference that's coming up in 2 weeks. So it's going to be a full show, as Larry said, a little bit of drink, a little bit of food, sports, and business. We've got it all this morning. Stay tuned on Mountain Money.
This is Brooks, commercial lender for Mountain West Bank. We are proud to support Mountain Money on KPCW, but not responsible for the opinions of Larry or Doug. Our community is unique, and so are Park City businesses. We offer loan solutions to help your business succeed. Mountain West Bank, Kearns Boulevard, next to the theaters. 649-3369, Division of Glacier Bank, Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Being a member of the Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business and provides a wide array of benefits. We promote your business, provide networking and educational opportunities, and even have benefit programs for you and your employees. For more information, visit us online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit, membership-based organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. If you're planning to ski today, should have some fresh snow. Not a whole lot. We're expecting 1 to 3 inches later today. Should be windy up on the ridgetops this morning, but otherwise always good to have new snow. 1 to 3 expected by tonight, and tomorrow another 2 to 4. So we'll get sounds like about a half foot out of this, and scattered snow showers throughout the week before it turns sunny on Friday. So always good to have that in a ski town, especially
the last week. It might be the last week of snow that we get for the season. So I hope I'm wrong.
I've had some killer powder days on the last day of the year. I've also had some really marginal skiing, but you never know. So our first guest, Hossein Dodka. Welcome to the studio, Hossein.
Thank you for having me over.
And you're the owner of Dinner at Yours, and your website is dinneratyours.com. Tell us a little bit what we'll find if we go to that website and what you do now.
Sure. So dinneratyours.com is an online platform that provides authentic fine dining Persian cuisine provided by a personal chef at the comfort of your own home. And the way it works is, you know, when you go online, you pick from one of the monthly rotating menus entirely based on Persian cuisine, time and date of your party, and then a personal chef from a Persian culinary background would get assigned to you to show up at your home and takes care of everything from prepping, cooking, serving, and most importantly, cleaning up after. So all you have to worry about hanging out your guests and have a great time.
So it's not you alone. You have a plate full of chefs.
Absolutely. Yes, we have definitely, you know, more than one chef available at any time.
Okay, and describe Persian cuisine.
So Persian cuisine is also known as Iranian cuisines, you know, is originated from Iran in Middle East. And basically it has recipes dating back centuries, you know, and all sort of ingredients that, you know, nourishes your mind, body and soul.
So we were talking in the green room ahead of time, the whole idea of Mediterranean cuisine is really quite popular now. There's a lot of health benefits to it. You were mentioning to us that your wife is working with you in the business. Tell us about her background.
Sure. I'm proud to have her, you know, as support and help, you know, for this business. So she's a registered dietitian, and, you know, she has graduated Master's of Nutrition Sciences from University of Utah. And she basically is our menu planner. She goes carefully through every menu and makes sure that it has a balanced diet and nutrition on every menu item.
And am I right? There's been multiple studies that say the Mediterranean diet is kind of a heart healthy diet. When people have heart disease, oftentimes they suggest a Mediterranean type diet. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, it has a lot of health benefits for you.
So is poultry at the center of it, or give us an idea of a typical dinner you would prepare?
So actually, no, we have vegetarian dishes as well as meat dishes at any time available. And we have, you know, just like in our March menu, you know, we have a lamb shank, you know, which is obviously a poultry dish. At the same time, we have the raisin date rice, you know, which also, you know, is a vegetarian menu. So at any time, you know, we accommodate both vegetarian and non-vegetarian dishes.
So what you do is rotate the menu every month, and you have a couple of choices every day.
Every month.
Okay. So you could do the same. You could do a dinner party several times in a row for a client and have a different cuisine, different preparation every day.
Correct.
So how do you prepare food in somebody else's house, not knowing what you're going to get when you get there? You know, maybe they have an electric stove and two of the burners are out. how do you deal with cooking in a different person's house every night?
Sure. So like you mentioned, you know, we have a monthly rotating menu. That means our menu changes every month, and each menu is 4-course, you know, from appetizer all the way, you know, to entree, salad, and dessert. But in terms of cooking at someone's place, usually the Persian dishes take about 6 to 8 hours to be prepped. So we do that prep part in a commercial kitchen. And then, you know, we send the personal chef only about an hour to an hour and a half to the client's place. But at the same time, when they make a reservation on our website and a reminder emails, we constantly remind our clients that what do they need to have in their kitchen and in their home. And their kitchen basically just needs standard, you know, pots and pans, you know, that can be found pretty much any kitchen. And in terms of dinnerware, you know, they get to set their own table however they desire, because at the end of the day, it's their home and it's their party, you know. And most importantly, we believe that the best table in town is at your home, you know. So the clients get plenty of, you know, heads up and information. And, you know, worse come to worse, even if they don't have pots and pans or require, you know, accessories for cooking the meal over there, you know, they can always purchase it from us and we can take care of it for them.
So this is the way to have a party, right? I mean, you get to have your friends over, you get to have a nice conversation. You have a professional chef come, set everything up, clean up afterwards so you can just have fun with your guests. Talk to us about what something like this costs. How, you know, if a client were to call you and say, hey, help me budget for this, what would you tell them?
Sure. So what we have done is, like I said, this is an online platform. You know, so everything is very clean, simple, available online for any client to go out and check it out at dinner@yours.com. But basically, you know, usually every meal, every menu costs about $60 to $100 a person. We have a minimum of 4 people and a maximum of 12 people because we have realized, you know, that is the maximum number of the people that one personal chef can provide the service at a high quality. And basically, you have to just go online, pick the menu that you like, put the number of the people, put the time and date of your party, and press book now, and that's it. You don't have to worry about anything else.
And what's interesting about your background is it's not as a personal chef. Or a chef of any kind, you come out of technology. Generally, people are trying to learn enough that they can get into technology, and you've been that route and decided what you really would like to do is create dinner parties.
You know, we always had passion for the food, you know, and travel. These two are the key elements of, you know, my life. But in terms of food, you know, we have dabbled into the market a lot before we get into this business. You know, we have thrown several Persian cooking classes, you know, and the reception was amazing. You know, we always had classes overbooked, fully sold. At the same time, we have the experience of throwing a couple of pop-up restaurants. And again, that was also a very amazing experience. So we realized that there is a need in the market, and therefore, you know, we have decided to do this. But yes, my background is in IT and computer science, but I have a passion for the food.
So what, you know, one of my passions is helping people decide what they want to do with their lives. And it's one of the nice things about this show. We get interesting guests like yourself here. So I'm and you've got a very interesting journey, and we want to touch on it a little bit. But specifically, like when you made the decision to get into computer science, so you have your master's of computer science. I know you went to college in Canada. Did you always know that, hey, you know, really what I want to be is a chef? How did you balance that? Were you thinking, well, you know, what drove you towards computer science, and what later in your life? And you're not that old. You're what, early 30s?
35
years old. What made you decide later to say, you know what, I'm going to move away from it? But tell us about how you got into it, about that decision, and how you decide later to move away.
Sure. So actually, what I want to clarify here is I never moved away. IT and computer has been a passion since I was in grade 5. And, you know, my mom and dad can tell you about that. But I always looked at the technology as a tool to facilitate other stuff, you know. So one of the reasons we have started this business is we have realized a lot of existing problem with the personal chef market, especially in Park City. You know, one of those reasons is, you know, if you want to book a personal chef, you have to go through pages of menu for picking one appetizer and one entree. You know, it's not simplified. It takes a lot of phone calls and email back and forth with your personal chef and can be time consuming. At the same time, right now, you know, in a ski season, a busy season, you can wait up to a month and a half to book a good personal chef versus our system, you only got 48 hours notice. So what I'm trying to say is we're trying to simplify the system through the technology and make it easy. That's why we say we are a platform. We're not a one-man shop. You know, we have several personal chefs that can be available at any time at the night to serve the exact same menu or different menus at different houses.
And is your, usually when I think of a platform, I think of two sides to it. I think of the customer and then I think of the service provider. So that would, the fact you're calling this a platform would say that other chefs, if they want to join your platform, can offer their services through your platform. Is that correct?
Not quite. You know, our chefs are our own employees, you know, and they're not our contractors, they're our employees, you know, and because they have to go through consistent training every month, they have to understand, you know, the dish. But one of the things that we really pride ourselves on, all of our chefs are from the Persian culinary background. And by mean, you know, yes, there are schools out there that you can go, but we handpick our chefs. So most of these guys were either born and raised in Iranian culture, so they have seen the dishes, you know, every day in their life, or, you know, they were born and raised in Iran. They just moved to U.S., you know, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, but they still brought all that, you know, food culture with them here. So it's a very authentic experience. So yes, we're always looking to hire and expand our team and get more, you know, personal chefs, but they have to meet that high level of expectation and standards and culinary background.
So this is radio, but describe what we're seeing on your website. Are there, like you say, one of the problems is there are hundreds of choices for every category of food, and yours are 4-course dinners. That could be several hundred choices. You've simplified it down to fairly standardized items that you know will work, right?
Yes. So usually our menus, you know, it goes like, you know, lamb, chicken, vegetarian, or lamb, beef, vegetarian, or beef. You know, just you have a variety. But again, three menus every month that you can pick from. And what we have done on the IT side, reservation side of it, is you should be able to book our service within about 5 clicks. So no lengthy phone calls, no lengthy emails back and forth. Of course, we're always there for you. If you have a question, you want to give us a call, we're more than happy to help you over the phone as well. No problem. But if you are a busy person and you're a technology person and you just want to get it done right quick, you know, all you have to do is go to our website, dinner@yours.com, press book now, pick the menu, put your name and party information, and press book. Done.
You know, Jose, when you were talking about your chefs and you know, the background, they grew up in Iran. You're doing a great job of kind of painting a picture. You know, I find myself hungry for some of this Mediterranean food as I listen to you. So you're doing a great job sharing with us about the business. I want to, if I can, go back to your personal journey. If I remember correctly, you said you moved away from Iran when you were 11?
20.
When you were 20. So yep. That was 15 years ago. So that was 2000. Probably to go to college for your undergrad?
So I went to University of Victoria for my master's in computer science in beautiful Victoria, British Columbia, you know, and then I moved to Utah, and I think the last move was the best move of my life because I love it here.
That's great to hear. What were some of the big differences that you noticed in Canada and the United States versus Iran?
You know, what I really like about the United States is here you can make anything happen. As long as, you know, you have an idea, you can find the tools to make it happen. And that's what I love about this country. You know, I'm proud to be an American. This is, I think, you know, a great part. But at the same time, you know, here what is missing is that diversity. And we're trying to bring that diversity in terms of food, you know, to the culture because there is a lot of demand for it.
Well, we need to wrap up. But before I let you go, obviously there's a lot of political tension between Iran and the United States. What do you wish that American citizens knew about Iranians that maybe we don't know?
You know, we believe in food diplomacy, which, you know, I was telling you beforehand, is the best way to get to the people's heart and mind is through their stomach. And again, the best table in town is yours at your home.
Well, that was an awesome answer to that question. Our guest this morning has been Hossein Dhatka. Hossein, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me over. It was a pleasure.
And the website is?
dinner@yours.com.
dinner@yours.com for in-home personal chef Persian cuisine. Sounds mouth-watering. And when we come back, you need something before you sit down to dinner. How about a nice rum drink now made in Utah? We'll be back with Mark Christensen of Dented Brick Distillery after this.
Hi, this is Blake Christian of HCVT CPAs. We are very pleased to support KPCW and to be providing full-service tax, audit, and financial consulting services to the Park City region through our newest office in Old Town. Learn more at hcvt.com.
Support for KPCW comes from the Park City Film Studios and Crandall Capital. Now open for business, the studio offers 3 sound stages, 45,000 square feet of meeting and event space, and dedicated truck and trailer parking, each with its own individual power hookups. Site plan, stage layout, and more at parkcityfilmstudios.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Redford.
And I'm Gordo Cummins with All Resort Group, a proud sponsor of KPCW.
We provide transportation to the airport, Park City, Deer Valley, and all other Utah resorts, utilizing private black cars, SUVs, and vans.
Reservations at allresort.com or 649-3999.
We move people.
And welcome back to Mountain Money. And before you sit down for a dinner at yours, a Persian dinner, perhaps you'd want a cocktail first. And Mark Christensen is here with us now with Dented Brick Distillery. Welcome to Mountain Money.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you're distilling rum and rum only. Do you have one product so far?
Currently, we have white rum. We'll have a dark rum as soon as the barrels are done turning it dark. We're going to do a spiced rum, and we're going to move into grains shortly. We'll be doing a vodka and a gin sourced from Collinston, Utah.
Okay, why rum? I don't think of rum when I think of Utah. I guess we have a lot of beach, but not a lot of ocean.
Well,
with
we
all that sand.
We actually have some islands. So, you know, we've got an island rum going here. We needed to come out with a white liquor initially. Most distilleries do vodka, and the vodka market's really saturated, and we wanted to do something a little different.
And so, that's because it doesn't require aging?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
so you can come right out of the box
correct,
with the product.
Correct, yeah. So we went with the white rum, and then kind of doing our homework on the rum. And rum's actually really interesting. I think you're going to see rum kind of come back with the whole cocktail culture. Particularly some of the aged dark rums. They're as interesting and as complex as some of the aged whiskeys. It's a really, really cool stuff.
So you were mentioning vodka. There's a lot of producers of vodka, so you're looking at the market, and rum looked like it had a niche, looked like it had an opening. So clearly you're looking at this as a business.
Correct.
As opposed to, hey, the last 20 years I've just loved making rum and I want to do this professionally now. What's it like raising money as a Utah company for a business that's going to make alcohol?
Surprisingly easy. Craft spirits market's really booming. The numbers in our business plans were pretty good, and it was actually not a problem. Utah, despite kind of the popular culture of liquor laws, is fairly easy to get a permit to manufacture. And having the state liquor source system, it's sort of a one-stop distribution stop. So,
does that help you? Does the state liquor store system, is that helpful versus maybe like Ohio or Nevada?
It is, yeah, because you've only got, you know, a few people. Now, these few people are making the decision, so if they decide against you, you're out of luck. But if you have a good product, you know, you're going to get into the system here, and it's a lot easier than say California, where you've got it's a licensed state, and there's, you know, hundreds of retailers, and it's much more difficult to try to get situated in several different cities. Whereas in the state, you've got one stop, and you're in all the cities.
I think people are always surprised by that. The fact mm-hmm. that Utah's laws, Utah's setups actually make it easier for a person that's interested in getting into it. I think the term you used was craft spirits.
Right.
Makes it easier because you don't have all these middlemen that you have to compete with and take away the profit. So
correct.
It's I think counterintuitive for a lot of us, but the liquor laws actually create a healthy environment for businesses like yours.
Somewhat. There are some difficulties with brands outside of the state trying to get in and you know, other craft spirits from outside of the state trying to come in. But I think the state's pretty proactive on bringing in locally produced products. So.
Okay, now it's locally distilled. Is it locally sourced
yeah.
as well?
Well, so like I said, we'll locally source our grains. We're working on a contract from up around the Logan area, Collinston, Utah. The rum that we've got here is a green cane sugar. It's an organic, non-GMO green cane sugar and organic molasses. Those obviously we don't grow in Utah, so we've gone out. I think they're coming in from Brazil and Paraguay right now.
We do grow sugar beets. That wouldn't work for rum, huh?
You can make spirit from sugar beets, but historically it's been a pretty poor quality spirit. So
you know, we were talking earlier about the business and the state of Utah. We were talking in the green room about where your business is set up. You're near the track station at 3300 South in Salt Lake City, which is a development zone. How did that development zone make it easier for you to start your business?
Well, so it's actually South Salt Lake. Salt Lake City wasn't that cooperative, but South Salt Lake's been very supportive, and we're in the Tracks. I think it's called the Tracks Redevelopment Corridor. South Salt Lake is doing a lot of redevelopment work in the whole city, and you're definitely seeing, particularly in our area, when we first went in, it was pretty run down. There hadn't been much construction going on or any improvement in any of the homes in the area. And we're seeing now that our property is complete and our building's done, all the neighbors are fixing their places up or selling out, and you're really seeing the redevelopment thing work. And, you know, a lot of it was just South Salt Lake making, what do you call it, you know, they had a law that said we can only build our building like this or whatever, and they kind of
design covenants.
Yeah, they changed some things for us to allow us to do what we wanted to do.
And the distillery is called Dented Brick, and that comes from the architecture of the building you restored?
Yeah, so when we purchased the property, there was a home on the property. There were a bunch of antique well drilling rigs on the property around the home. And turns out the family that lived there had drilled wells in the area for three generations, really. And they had drilled an artesian well on our property in 1986. It's 240 feet deep, thereabout. It's got 28 feet of head pressure. So this well is actually pressurized from the snowmelt, basically going down. The snowmelt gets stuck in the Salt Lake Valley, so there's a big lake bed under the valley. And we're pumping water out of that for our still.
And that's one of the keys to your rum. Now, we will admit, Doug and I, that we had a small nip for breakfast this morning, and it's very smooth.
Thank you.
And that is a result directly of the artesian water that's underneath the distillery?
Correct. Yeah, and most of the big, if you go to Kentucky and go to the big bourbon distilleries, they've all got their own, you know, spring water. So in a sense, an artesian well is a spring. There's no pump or anything. That water just flows out of the ground. And it has a lot of really nice, obviously, salt minerals from our salt valley. But those are great minerals for yeast and fermentation. Generally, a lot of distilleries will add an additional packet of some kind of a mineral or whatever for the yeast that we don't necessarily need to do.
And you talked about why you're there, but why is craft distilling becoming kind of the next wave? 10, 15, 20 years ago, we started seeing craft breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the last, it seems like the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're seeing more craft spirits like High West and like yourselves.
I think what's happened is, 20 years ago, there was Budweiser and there was Coors, and they only made one Pilsner beer, and that was it. It was very homogenous and at super high production. And as you get into high production, you tend to lose quality. As we all know now, there were hundreds and thousands of different kinds of beers. You went to brewery, came in, and started making really good quality craft beers. You can see how their growth has gone. And I think the same thing in spirits. Right now, they're Heaven's Hill, Four Roses, Wild Turkey make the majority of the whiskeys out there. MGP is another company in Indiana that makes almost all of the rye whiskey. So it's coming in different labels, but it's from one mass producer. And I think people are really interested in seeing what other types of spirits that there are or could be out there. There's hundreds of recipes for different types of runs and gins and ginever and vodkas and flavored vodkas.
Yeah, is rum a little different than other distilled spirits in that you can make any number of varieties of it?
Not really. I mean, just with whiskey itself, you can make hundreds of different types of whiskeys with different mash bills, different barrel aging processes, different time in the barrel.
You know, I think from a business standpoint, it's really interesting. You know, you have something that everybody uses, not everybody, particularly here in Utah, I shouldn't say that, but you think like coffee, right? You know, we all were drinking lousy coffee for a long, long
right.
time.
Yeah.
And then a group of people up in Washington State said, this is crazy. We should have quality coffee and really craftsmanship coffee, not just Starbucks, but a bunch of small mom and pops sprouting up, offering a better cup of coffee. The same thing in the spirits world, right? It started first with beer, and now we're seeing it with what you call crafted spirits. So lots of different business opportunities. I'm curious, what was your background before you decided to do this?
I own and developed a bunch of safety barricades and do safety barricades for special events and crowd control and airport runway construction and traffic control for road construction. So I was definitely an outsider coming into this.
Well, that's actually a good business, too. I know some people in that business. There's a private equity firm that's done a roll-up in that space, and they've done quite well.
But there's not a lot of synergy between safety barricades and rum.
It's funny.
Well,
actually,
the connection we probably don't want to talk about on air.
Yeah, I actually started out my career at Park City in the marketing department up there. And I developed barricades and used the barricades during the World Cup events for a number of years. And that's kind of how I got going in this. But as we've moved forward, my barricade company, because of special events always need spirits or beer or wine. There's actually a synergy there where we're co-branding and co-marketing both products. So.
Huh. Interesting. Well, we need to run along, but are your spirits available for sale yet? You just opened in the last week, so you are brand new out of the box with this product. Is it available yet, and what does it take to get it on the market?
Right now, you need to come to our distillery. We have a package agency in the distillery. A bottle of rum is $26.96. And we've got T-shirts and hats and all that kind of stuff down there, too. I'm happy to take anybody on a tour that wants to come by. We can do a tour and a tasting down there now. Utah state law allows us to do tastings, which is nice. So hope to see some folks, and I'd love to do tours.
Okay, what's the location?
It's 3100 South Washington, which is just off the 33rd South exit of I-15, between 2nd West and 3rd West.
And you live on the web at what address?
Dentedbrick.com.
Okay, very fine. Mark Christensen, thanks for joining us. Summit County guy, starting a new business in South Salt Lake. And we will be back to talk about another interesting business, the Human Potential Lab at Skullcandy, who will be presenting at the Thin Air Festival, which is coming up next week. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bill Rock, Chief Operating Officer of Park City and proud sponsor of KPCW. New this season at Park City is over $50 million of resort improvements, including the new Quicksilver Gondola, Miner's Camp Restaurant, lift upgrades, increased snowmaking, and more. More information at parkcitymountain.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hello, Park City. I'm Joe Simmons with Park City High School and the Minor Nation Report. Listen every Monday for the latest in high school sports and activities. The Minor Nation Report is made possible in part by UPS Stores, Rich Fine Realtor, Elliott Work Group, and Miller Orthodontics.
Welcome back to Mound Money. Interesting conversations already this morning. We're going to continue that. In studio with us right now, we have Emily Cook and Sam Nordker. They're with Skullcandy. And then we also have Linda Jaeger from the Park City Chamber Bureau. We're going to talk about the upcoming Thin Air Conference, which is next week, and one of the main speakers is going to be our guest here from Skullcandy. So we'll start with Linda. Let's start with, what is the Thin Air Conference?
Well, the Thin Air Innovation Festival, this will be the inaugural year, and it will become an annual event that we host here in Park City at the conclusion of ski season. So we had a group come together and, you know, talk about some different things that we could bring to Park City, and this is how Thin Air was developed. So Developed out of thin air and some great minds. So this year, the kickoff year, the theme is innovation and human performance, and we will be starting April 6th and run through the 8th. The evening of April 6th, Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour, will be our keynote speaker, and we'll also have some other presentations that evening around neuroscience, some really cool things that Emily can get into in a few minutes as well. And then on the 7th, we'll be hosting 4 breakfast sessions, all talking about innovation on different levels. So for an individual, a team, an organization, for a business organization, and then also globally. And we will have a Thin Air lounge open throughout the festival over at the space where Butchers is. So we'll have some other small presentations and some product demonstrations, and really just a good place for people to gather and inspire more innovation amongst themselves. And then we wrap on the 8th with a street concert on Main Street and Thievery Corporation. So an innovative band. It's going to be great.
Well, the whole idea of this conference is to my knowledge, I've never heard of one like this before. You're talking about some great events, right, which are typically associated with a conference, maybe like Sundance, you know, kind of the moviegoers. This is a different idea. This is really where the Thin Air team is bringing in these great speakers, having a really interesting theme. But the conference itself is not the event. The conference itself is the enabler for other businesses here to have their own events. Talk to us about that.
Exactly. And that's a really neat concept because, as you've mentioned, we've heard these festivals all throughout the country, even South by Southwest. But we developed Thin Air as a centerpiece event. So companies that are coming in and holding their, whether it's a small retreat for a dozen employees or a large sales meeting, they can actually bolt on to the programming of the Thin Air Festival and have access to programs featuring keynotes like Kevin Plank and great inspiration from individuals like Emily, and where it's additional programming that they may not have been able to do
because
otherwise.
If you're a company with a dozen salespeople, mm-hmm. maybe 50 employees total, and you want to hold an event, you're not going to get people from the Human Performance Lab at Skullcandy to come talk. You're not going to get Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour, to come talk. So it's really, really, I think, clever, and I think is going to be wildly successful. Is this a model that the Park City Chamber borrowed somewhere else? Is this being done somewhere and we're bringing it here? Or are you guys inventing this model?
Well, it's an innovation from that group. It's actually something that our group came together and decided was a great way to position this event because it is taking advantage of our location and destination. It's ski season is still happening that week, so it's a great way to have individuals and groups that are coming in for meetings get out and recreate and be inspired. But it's something really unique, and I think it will carry us through as we continue this event.
I'm really excited to see it play out, and I'm also excited to get a chance to look inside the tent with our team here at Skullcandy. I'm sure folks are going to be very interested at the event of hearing what you guys have to say, and we're going to get a sneak peek of that now. I was teasing with Larry at the open, and I asked Larry, how'd you like to work at a place that's called the Human Potential Lab? And in studio with us to talk about that is Emily Cook and Sam Nortker. Welcome, and tell us, what is the Human Performance Lab?
Thank you. The Human Performance, the Human Potential Lab, is a place where Skullcandy gets the opportunity to learn and explore, and really where we get the chance to innovate. So essentially what it is, it's across the street from Skullcandy headquarters in the Basin Recreation Fieldhouse. And it's this little space. Probably a lot of people have seen it if they're running around the track in the fieldhouse. A lot of people stick their heads in and ask us what we're doing in there, which is really fun. It's a cool opportunity for us to share what we're doing. But certainly the Thin Air Festival is going to be a great chance for us to showcase that as well. So my background is being an athlete, and being able to support future athletes was something that was really important to me. So being able to run the Human Potential Lab is a great way to do that. So
make the connection between, you know, Skullcandy, I think of as headphones and earbuds, but you're researching athletic performance as it relates to music. You're pumping in your ears?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, music makes a huge difference for all sorts of people. So certainly we're looking at our highest level athletes and how we can support them, but we're definitely interested in making a difference for, you know, general population, everyone. You know, myself as a retired athlete now, I'm certainly not looking to win any more gold medals than anything, but I want to be a fit person. I want to have a good day, get through my day. So, you know, Skullcandy, yes, we're a company that makes headphones and speakers. We're an audio company, but we also want to be a company that leaves a mark in this world and that helps people strive to do something different and to, you know, push the boundaries and reach their goals. So the Human Potential Lab is something that helps us do that. And it also, of course, informs future products, future sport performance products, and eventually, you know, future products that make a difference for people.
So you were an aerialist in three different Olympics and six-time national champion and all of that. Were you wearing earbuds when you were flipping through the air?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, right? Because a lot of people can't listen to music while they're actually doing their sport.
Because I've talked to other athletes, gold medal performers, like the 2002 snowboard champ, and she was actually doing her tricks in the half pipe with you know, loud music pumping through her ears, which I would think would detract from your concentration.
It depends for sure on the athlete. And for myself, I had to listen to my coaches while I was in the air. But if you ever watched me at the top of the hill, I would take my headphones out and hand them to my coach right before I turned down the in run. So, you know, one of the things we're exploring, it's pretty well established that music makes a difference while you're actually doing an activity. So, I mean, how many people have tried to go for a run without music? I don't like it. That's why spin classes are so filled with pumping music. The synchronicity of the rhythm of the music, the cadence is really important. But we're also studying what kind of differences can be made by listening to music while warming up. That's actually currently what we're doing in the lab right now. So for myself, I listen to it before, I listen to it afterwards. I listen to pump up music while I was warming up. And then if I took a big crash, I would listen to music that would calm my heart rate down, get myself focused, get myself ready to be in the gate and perform well on that day.
And you're an athlete at a very high level, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is the majority of us are not, right? And we're looking for things that motivate us, to keep us working out, to have a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, high on that list is the playlist on my iPhone, you know, what music I'm going to listen to. And then I don't want my earbuds being a distraction. You know, if I'm out jogging and they fall out, that really sucks. So I'm curious. We've got the two of you in here. We've got Sam Nordker as well. Sam, tell us your story.
So I've been working at Skull Candy for about 4.5 years. I actually was born and raised here in Park City. And through the time at Skull Candy, we've really started to focus on innovation. How do we drive innovation? And the teams, the advanced concept engineering team, and then also we have a new experience design team. Those are two teams that are really focused on, okay, what is innovation? You know, how do you even define that? And how are we going to bring more innovation into a company that's typically known for headphones and earphones? And kind of our philosophy is that at the core of great innovation is really being able to uncover some deep human needs that are kind of seen across the board of individuals. So in this case, you know, you mentioned Emily's a, you know, incredibly high performing athlete, and we work with a lot of really high performing athletes. But then on the other side of the spectrum, there are just kind of the weekend warriors, the people who are just looking for a great experience and they want to be able to push themselves a little bit harder. They're not probably never going to be looking for sponsors, but what are the human needs that actually kind of relate those two groups of people? And then how could we actually develop an experience or a product or a service that can address those in a novel way?
So Sam, I want to go back to what you said about the whole idea of innovation and what the next iterations of the product are. I want to remind our audience that when Skull Candy started, Rick Alden, the world did not need another manufacturer of earbuds. There were plenty of earbuds, the shelves were filled with them, and they were all lousy. And people thought that was okay. And Rick Alden had a different idea. His big thing was really what he would call the twin tip, which lets you actually hook up your phone. This is when we had iPods and our phones were separate. They hadn't come together. And he had the idea of let's bring them together so you don't have to stop your music. You don't have to bring out your phone to make a phone call when you're out there. So innovation, I mean, that's what Skull Candy was built on. We want to have Skull Candy in this town. And you guys wouldn't be the big successful companies you are if it weren't for innovation. So what's the next generation of earbuds? What are some exciting things that you guys are working on that we have to look forward to?
Well, you know, we obviously can't get into too many specifics
about the
secret things, but we know that there's all this disruptive technology that's emerging, right? And one of the big ones is like sensors and biometrics, right? We know that it's easier than ever to pull somebody's heart rate out of a device. It could be a watch.
Particularly out of the ear. It turns out it's a great place to get your heart rate.
Great place to pull biometrics. And, you know, more than heart rate, there's breathing rate and there's, you know, blood oxygen. And there's all these different things that you can pull out. And what a lot of companies are doing is they're taking that information and they're just giving it to the user. And they're saying, hey, look at what your heart rate is. Look at what, you know, where your oxygen levels are, this and that. And, you know, for the very, like, tech savvy person who's like really interested in like graphs and statistics and stuff, that could be really interesting. But for the average consumer who is really just looking for that good experience, just throwing data at them won't really solve the problem. It's what are you going to do with that data? How are you going to take in this data and make intelligent decisions from it that speak to those human needs that they have about, you know, the what makes a good experience versus a bad experience, and then how do you actually then, you know, create something from that. So I like that you brought up Rick Alden's story of where we got started, because really what he did was outside of the headphones and earbuds itself, it was about the control of the music and the phone, you know, being able to plug them in together. You didn't have to pull out your phone and unplug it and plug into your MP3 player. So that innovation was much bigger than just creating earphones that sound.
You know, another thing I think Skullcandy has done exceptionally well, right? You started this on the world can use a better set of earbuds. And then you also were able to associate with athletes, which now is taken as a given. But back then it was not. Emily, I'm curious, you're an athlete at a very high level. What was it about Skullcandy that made you say, you know what, I want to be associated with them versus many of the other brands you could have been associated with?
Yeah, it's a great question. When I first met Hobie Darling, who's now the CEO of Skullcandy, the very first question that he asked me was, what are you passionate about? What do you want to do in this world? You know, what kind of mark do you want to leave on this world? And so I started talking to him about, you know, some of the work that I've done around the world, bringing sport to disadvantaged kids and making a difference through it that way. And in his head, he had kind of in the back of his mind how music could make a difference kind of to the general public. So he had seen the movie Alive Inside, which was about the Music and Memory Coalition and using music to help people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And so that's kind of where the conversation started, was, wow, if we can make a huge difference in this community, how can we make a difference to the general public? Starting, you know, with a sharp point of high-level athletes, because I was using music on the Hill so much as well. How can we research that? How can we learn more about it? You know, how can we make a difference for the wide scope of people? So, you know, we started by, you know, working with the Music and Memory Coalition, getting trained on how to use music therapy, and, you know, kind of branched out from there. So to me, the reason I'm wanting to be associated with Skullcandy is because of the difference that Skullcandy would like to make in the world. You know, making great headphones is one thing, but making an impact on people in this community and around the world is very important to me. So,
Sam, can you talk at all about what you're learning and turning into a product that comes directly out of Emily's research at the Human Potential Lab?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a great, I just have to say, the lab, we're so fortunate to have it as a place for this these innovation grounds, because the most important part of innovation is going out and having empathy for the people you're designing for and being able to actually, you know, understand those needs. And so really the last year and a half of working with Emily and her team of experts and then these athletes has been focused around trying to understand what are some of the driving human needs that can help people perform better. And we're actually, it's kind of cool. We've boiled it down to some really core fundamentals of psychology, where, you know, if you think about like Pavlov and the classical conditioning experience with, you know, the bell and then, you know, like the steak, humans are really good at, you know, getting themselves into a certain state, right? And then when you introduce music, it can actually condition them to that state so that even if they're having a hard time of getting there later, you can then introduce that music and it'll get them there.
It's kind of muscle memory of the brain.
Exactly. And that's actually what you see with the music and memory program as well, with music and people with dementia and Alzheimer's, is that the connections that music makes with our brain goes so much deeper than a lot of the other things that we try to remember or the connections we try to make. So with an athlete, we're able to pick music. We do some analysis on music and which types of music fit with their personal kind of performance profile. We look at the athlete, we talk to them, we have some self-reported data for where they think that they perform the best. And then we go and we analyze a playlist that they give us. And, you know, the playlist that people have for themselves is usually has a lot of variety. And what we try to do is we try to kind of focus that playlist in around a certain area of songs that that fit their zone, right? Because when you're randomly picking songs, it's kind of hard to say, okay, here's my zone of optimal performance, and here's the music that'll get me there. It's a lot more random than that. And so what we've learned is that by kind of focusing around the type of songs that we have, and then by understanding that athlete's personal performance profile deeper, you can actually start to kind of bridge those connections.
Clearly, athletes need to listen to the music they like.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So you can't develop a playlist and say, this is the best music if you're trying to run a four-minute mile or whatever.
And that's the really challenging part of this project. It's also what makes it really exciting, is that an athlete's personal performance state or their routine or how they get into a performance state is very personalized to them. You know, you might find athletes that are similar, but everybody's going to be a little bit different. And then you look at the music side, and people's preferences around music are all different, and it's all personalized to them. So we have these two very individual situations, and you can't just write a blanket prescription for what music to listen to.
So this is a fascinating conversation, and what I'm also picking up on is just your passions for what you guys do. I mean, I think everybody in town, and hopefully we all do, work at a company, work in a space that we share this type of passion. You know, I'm curious, because Skullcandy is a big company now. What is it, as employees, as members of the team, about the culture at Skullcandy that enables you guys to thrive? You know, sometimes companies kind of squash people's passion, and what I hear from you guys is it's really being amplified. What do you think it is in their culture that enables you to really pursue your dreams?
I think it's a very supportive culture, for sure. Definitely, Skullcandy, we're really passionate about what's going on in our backyard here in Park City. And we have a program, Born in PC, that Sam and I are both a part of, where all the proceeds from what we make here in Park City go directly back into Park City nonprofits. That's one thing that's really amazing about the culture. We also just have a lot of fun. Our executive team is a great group of people. They encourage us to be outside and active and really enjoying this amazing community that we have. And we're also, it's an interesting dynamic. Like, certainly playing is really important, but it's also really fun to be successful. So, I think when we're out playing hard, but when we're there, we're working hard as well. And everyone knows that being successful is really fun. And so that's something that's really important to the culture as well.
There's a lot of trust and support, kind of like Emily said, and responsibility that's given to, individuals. If you're in charge of a project, you're responsible for the success of that project, and the team believes in you, and they really want to help you succeed. But at the same time, there's a lot of individual accountability. But you get to work on things that you're excited about, when people are working on things that they're excited about and the rest of the company kind of believes in them and is supporting them on any level, whether that's a sales position or whether that's an innovation position, or a finance position, the whole company is kind of united around these values that we live.
Well, Emily Cook and Sam Nordker, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the Human Potential Lab, which you'll be talking about at the Thin Air Conference. And Linda Jaeger, come back in now and give us the quick details. If someone's interested in taking part in it, is it free? Is it a fee thing? And how do they sign up?
We do have tickets available and a couple different ticket packages. You can find all the information you need on our website, which is thinairparkcity.com, and can purchase tickets right there as well. And in terms of free events, the concert, Thievery Concert, will be free and open to the public on the 8th. But the event, the Thin Air Innovation Festival, is the 6th through the 8th. So we look forward to seeing everybody come out.
Very fine. Well, thanks for joining us, all of you, and we will be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Thanks. Mom, hey Mom, registration for summer programs with Park City Recreation opens April 1st. Summer day camp was so fun last year, I don't want to miss out.
You're old enough for adventure camp this year too.
Tennis camp, soccer camp, dirt jump, and golf. How will I ever choose?
Let's go online to parkcityrecreation.org and check out the Play magazine. It will have all the information we need on camps and programs this summer, from swim lessons to skateboarding. I'll call the PC Mark if I have questions, 615-5401.
Park City Recreation is a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
Well, interesting topics. We have some snow coming down, and I think on the mountain it's sticking now, so that's terrific. 1 to 3 inches expected today, another 2 to 4 tomorrow, and a snowy week ahead. So
Mondays have been good days for snow. We're grateful for that, and I'm leading into our gratefulness of our underwriters as well. But it is weird how Mondays, like the last 4 Mondays, we've had snow.
Well, I kind of have a standing Tuesday morning ski group. It's been like every Tuesday there's been powder, and there will be tomorrow. So,
well, and you'll be thankful for that, and we're thankful to the Mountain West Bank, the Park City Chamber, to Berkshire Hathaway.
Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Designs, Jones Waldo, Holbrook and McDonough, and also All Resort Group and Park City. Thank you very much to all of our underwriters.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I also want to thank our guests. Hossein Dodka is the owner of the Persian private chef business, dinneratyours.com. Also, Mark Christensen, a Summit County guy who is starting the Dented Brick Distillery in South Salt Lake. And then this great conversation we had at the end here, Emily Cook, director of Skull Candy's Human Potential Lab, Sam Nortker, the manager of Advanced Concept Engineering, and Linda Jager, giving us a briefing on the Thin Air Festival, which sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the festival itself is very innovative to enable businesses to tag on to that conference.
Indeed. So that's coming up next week. And that is Mountain Money for this morning. Thanks for joining us. This is KPCW Park City.